Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. So we've got more news about FTX. It just never ends. Now we have a class action lawsuit against a lot of the celebrities, or maybe even all the celebrities, that were promoting FTX, such as Tom Brady. So let's get into the story right now. And we're going to also tie this in to some other people who I would consider bad actors in this whole crypto space or around the Bitcoin ecosystem. Now, I'm not implying that these celebrities were bad actors, but I am saying that this is what you get when you have a big collapse and a lot of retail investors lose their money. You're most likely going to get a class action lawsuit against anyone still left standing that actually has money for people to go after. So let's check out the story. FTX's Bankman-Fried, Tom Brady, and celebrity promoters sued by crypto investors. So at the beginning here, they show, well, this thumbnail had a bunch of the people on. I'm sure they'll list it here. They've got, including Tom Brady and comedian Larry David, who did a commercial for them for the Super Bowl, I believe. And what was really interesting about this commercial that Larry David did is throughout the commercial, he was skeptical of all of these things that revolutionized the world, like fire and the wheel. And at the end, he was very skeptical about FTX. And of course, the irony there is that it didn't really revolutionize the world. It just lost its customers about $8 billion. And this is, you kind of saw this one coming from a mile away. And it had, Osaka David, I'm not sure who these people are, but Naomi Osaka and professional basketball team, the Golden State Warriors. Geez, they're claiming the whole team, the Golden State Warriors. I knew that Steph Curry was one of them, but I didn't know there was an entire basketball team that was named in the lawsuit. So why is this so important? Because moving forward, I think that crypto, including Bitcoin, you're not going to have another parabolic rise anytime soon. I know that a lot of the people in the crypto or the Bitcoin space and the crypto space say, oh, this just comes in cycles. To a certain degree, but there was so much hot money that was going into this crypto space and the Bitcoin space that took it to its all-time highs, whenever that was, like a year ago. That probably would have been November of 2021, right before the Fed came out and announced they're going to start raising rates, because that's when the whole market kind of went risk off, especially with these growth stocks, NASDAQ, and a lot of the cryptos, including Bitcoin. But, people are going to have PTSD here, a lot of retail investors. And I can almost assure you that they're not going to be getting any celebrity endorsements anytime soon behind anything financial. I'm not talking about crypto or Bitcoin. I'm talking about anything. And I think one of the big risks here is if this class action lawsuit is successful, who do you think they're going to go after next? They're going to go after all the people that were saying the exact same thing about Bitcoin. Now, I'm not saying that they legally should or they ethically should. I'm not saying that. So don't get my words mixed up here. I'm saying that I'll bet you that's what we're going to see. And so now let's go over to a clip from Michael Saylor, who ethically I really do have a problem with, because he was saying things back at the height of the bubble that were just, come on, man. You can't say this stuff to retail investors. You got to be more careful with what you're saying. And but this is what you see at the top.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well,
okay, you're going to go ahead and play it, Josh, and turn up the volume a little bit.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay, what's the second best? There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset. There's a crypto asset. It's called Bitcoin, right? Right? There's no second best, okay? It's not like Google and Facebook. It's not like Apple and Amazon. Yeah, we can debate Apple or Amazon. What's better? They both look like tech monopolies to me. They both look pretty good. On the other end, Bitcoin or no, Bitcoin. Bitcoin's crypto asset. This entire idea of like 60% dominance is bullshit, ridiculous.
I think this one might be the wrong clip.
That's the wrong one, man.
Yeah, yeah. You
got to do the meme.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset. There's a crypto asset. It's called Bitcoin, right? right? There's no second best, okay? But take all your money, buy Bitcoin, then take all your time, figure out how to borrow more money to buy more Bitcoin, then take all your time and figure out what you can sell to buy Bitcoin. And if you absolutely love the thing that you're that you don't want to sell it, go mortgage your house and buy Bitcoin with it. And if you've got a business that you love because your family works for the business that's in your family for 37 years and you can't bear to sell it, mortgage it, finance it, and convert the proceeds into the hardest money on earth, which is Bitcoin.
Yeah. And this person saying in the chat that that was a fake video. Yeah, I get it. That was a fake video, but it's put together with clips from things that Michael Saylor actually said. I remember listening him say those things. And not only that, I've been interviewed by Bitcoin podcasts. I won't mention which ones. And they said the exact same thing. I would sit there and say that, listen, I think the odds of Bitcoin being the global currency and replacing the dollar are a lot different than the odds of Bitcoin just being a digital asset or going to 100,000. And I said, I think over time, sure, Bitcoin could go to 100,000. That doesn't mean that that there's a high probability that's going to replace the dollar. And I remember specifically these people came out, the people, and I'm not going to mention any names, and they would say, well, if you're bullish on Bitcoin over the long term, then why don't you just sell everything and buy Bitcoin? And I'm like, because that's stupid, because no one would put all their eggs in one basket. You know, I'm thinking this in my head, but really what I'm thinking in my head is how can any interviewer ask that dumb of a question? Like, how can I even answer that? And then they'd go on to say, this particular person, well, why wouldn't you just max out your credit card and buy Bitcoin? And they said the same thing Saylor said. Well, why don't you just, mortgage your house, buy Bitcoin, sell your business, buy Bitcoin. I mean, I'm just like, do you even hear the words that are coming out of your mouth right now? So these, and now what's happening on Twitter is all the Bitcoin people are coming out and pointing fingers at the crypto, saying, see, I told you so. I told you so. And it's like, whoa, my friends, you need to take some of the blame here because you were doing the exact same thing. And yes, people lost a lot of money in FTX, but how much do you think people lost who bought Bitcoin at 65,000, thinking that it was going to go to 1 million and leveraged their house and maxed out their credit cards? And now Bitcoin goes down to 16, right? And all those people, all those so-called experts, they should have known that a lot of that price of Bitcoin included liquidity from all these other crypto, we'll call them businesses or pump and dumps, schemes, whatever you want to call them, right? And they, now listen, I'm not saying that if you were bullish Bitcoin at 65,000, that you were wrong and that's unethical. No, absolutely not. What's unethical is telling people to leverage their house to buy anything. I mean, can you imagine me coming out here and telling you to leverage your house to buy gold or leverage your, max out your credit card to buy shares of coal, a coal stock or something, or an oil stock? I would never say that. I would never, ever, ever say that. In fact, that's why I do that 10-80-10 portfolio. So 80% of it pays you to own it just because you never know what's going to happen. You can never guess which direction the price is going to go. I mean, I say that till I'm blue in the face. And my point here is, yes, there's going to be a class action lawsuit against all of these celebrities. But if that lawsuit is successful, then I almost, right or wrong, they're going to go after the Michael Saylors of the world. That's how this is going to play out, because once people that have lost a ton of money and money that they couldn't afford to lose, they're going to go after whomever has the money that they think they can go after to get what they lost back in their pocket. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So now I want to go, and by the way, there's how many people on YouTube, for heaven's sakes? How many financial people on YouTube got, or maybe a better question is, how many of them did not get caught up in this whole crypto thing? Maybe even specifically with FTX. I was watching a video just while I was eating lunch, and there was a person there that had million three subscribers, something like that. And they had detailed information as to how much people in their space with similar amount of subscribers were making from affiliate commissions or sponsorships from FTX. And he said specifically that he had one buddy that had about 1 million subscribers in the financial, we'll call it financial YouTube guru space, that was making $50,000 a month just from FTX. $50,000 a month. Now, I can tell you guys that I have been offered up to $75,000 just to do an interview. Now, I don't know that I've ever talked about this, but I can't even tell you how many like junior gold miners email me constantly. It's not just, it's the junior gold miners. It's the crypto bros. It's the crypto that, I don't know if I ever got an email from FTX. Maybe I did, because all those emails go to my assistant. I don't even see them anymore. But I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from these promoters that will say, hey, if you have our CEO on of our little junior gold miner, we'll pay you $75,000 just for interviewing him on your channel. It, not affiliate commission, we'll pay you a flat fee of $75,000. And we'll sign you to a multiple year contract where if you keep having our whatever CEOs are in the pool, if you keep having them on your channel and interviewing them as though they're experts, we'll pay you, you know, whatever it is, $50,000 a pop for, you know, the next 2 years. And you can have one of these guys on your channel every single month or every single, 2 weeks or something like that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Obviously I said, no, I'm not going to do that. The only things I've done on this channel is a couple affiliate deals with Chris McIntosh. And you guys all know Chris, and you want to talk about a straight shooter. And then another guy that worked with Chris, and who else? There was probably maybe two or three, because I've done maybe four total. And this was when I first started the Rebel Capitalist show. So it would have been the beginning of 2020. But since that time, I've done, as you guys know, I don't do any affiliates. I don't do any sponsorship deals. I do nothing other than just my own product, Rebel Capitalist Pro and Rebel Capitalist Live. And there's a reason, because I have control over it. I know that it's going to be there tomorrow. I know that I can deliver on whatever it is that people are paying for. I don't have any counterparty risk, if you will. But my point here is to show you guys that if you've got, you know, a channel, if you're in this space, you've got just random people, if you want to take it, just throwing you thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think, fortunately, I've got enough life experience to understand that although you might make a lot of money in the short term, over the long run, that's not the way to go. That's not the way to go. Your brand is far more important. And so are your personal morals and integrity, for that matter. So, but my point there is that you could see a lot of these YouTubers that also could get pulled in to potentially a class action lawsuit, especially all of them with millions and millions of subscribers. You know, I don't think this, especially if they're successful, this will definitely not be the last class action lawsuit you see in the crypto space. That's for sure. So now moving over to this Zero Hedge article, this is what I was talking about on the earlier video with this. And I guess he's not the CEO. I think I misspoke there, but he's someone that was specifically hired a lawyer to come in to liquidate their assets of FTX. And he did, in fact, run the liquidation for Enron. So that was correct. But I think I said he's a CEO. He was not the he's not the interim CEO. That's another lawyer that probably is overseeing this lawyer who is specific to the liquidation process. But look at what he has said in the media. Never in my career have I seen such a complete failure of corporate controls and such complete absence of trustworthy financial information as occurred here. Remember the last video, guys, I was talking about this little DM back and forth. And to me, as a former entrepreneur, it was just obvious that he didn't hire any adults. And he just hired all of his little buddies that were 20-something that were just like Peter Pan, that were just living in a fantasy world. And they were just little children, basically, you know, trapped in an adult's body. And they not only had zero business experience, but they had zero life experience, totally naive, and therefore completely incompetent. And yes, there's a lot of, most likely a lot of illegal stuff here. But I think, like I said in that video, the main problem here was just the sheer inability to run a business and just accounting chaos. And look, here's the next quote from this lawyer. From compromised systems integrity and faulty regulatory oversight board to the concentration of control in the hands of a very small group of inexperienced, unsophisticated, and potentially compromised individuals. This situation is unprecedented. There you go. That's what happens when a kid that's never run a lemonade stand is running a business with millions or billions of dollars going back and forth and hires all of their cosplay buddies who are literally seven-year-olds trapped in 25-year-old bodies. So what's my point? My point is, if the whole crypto space is like this, for heaven's sakes. And so, you know, we saw Celsius, we saw Three Arrows, we saw Terra Luna come down. I don't think this is the last we'll see of it. I mean, I hope it is, but I don't think it's the last shoe to drop here. Who knows whether it's Binance? I mean, who knows if it's Tether? But there's most likely going to be a lot more news coming out about this in the future, and potentially a lot more of these class action lawsuits, not just against FTX, but maybe against all these Bitcoin promoters like Michael Saylor. Although it would be much harder to, you know, get a guilty verdict because you know, it's not a company, it's not an entity you're going after that took money. It's you know, just to promote. But hey, if they're going after Tom Brady, I mean, I don't know how on earth they couldn't go after Michael Saylor. And again, a lot of times people think that, well, if you didn't do anything illegal, then you don't have anything to worry about. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. That's Sam, that's SBF think, meaning that's incredibly naive. You don't understand how the world works, especially in today's day and age in the United States. The law is almost irrelevant. What matters is you are guilty or innocent based on public opinion. You're rarely innocent or guilty based on the actual letter of the law. And I think that a lot of these people are going to find that out the hard way. And now I want to end on a positive note, though, because as just like the dot-com bust, you saw businesses come out of that that were actually really, really good. And I think that once the dust settles, it'll be, you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes in this entire space. But it's going to happen slowly, right? And I think the same thing with Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin has value from the standpoint as it gives you purchasing power outside the banking system. I've said that a zillion times. I think it's highly unlikely that it ever, well, in its current form, it's literally impossible for it to take over the dollar. Now it could have iterations, or it could have, you know, layers built on top and whatever, with more technology to where it would have the potential, but that's an uphill climb. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to have value long term in some capacity, right? But for those people out there that think that, you know, once we get through this, then Bitcoin's just going to rip higher to 100 million or to 100,000 or to a million or whatever. I just don't think it's going to work that way, because you've got too many people out there with PTSD and they've been burned. They're like, okay, I'm done. I never want to see a crypto asset. I don't care what the Bitcoin, I don't care what it is. I never want to see one of those things again for the rest of my life. And therefore, once you get this capitulation, it's going to be very similar to the uranium market. Remember uranium in 2011 or 2012, it really peaked out and then it just crashes all the way down, and it stayed down for like years. And then it gradually, you know, the supply demand dynamics improve and the price starts to go up to where we see it is today, but it takes a couple of years for it to bottom out. And then when it does go up, it doesn't go up in a parabolic move. Gradually goes back up. And I think that's what you're going to see most likely with Bitcoin when you do get to the ultimate capitulation. And I think, when does that come? All you have to do is watch Michael Saylor. And I've said that for so long. Watch Michael Saylor and watch the Bitcoin conference. When you see the Bitcoin conference go from 15,000 people or attendees down to 500, that might be a good time to look at Bitcoin. When you see Michael Saylor liquidate, that might be a good time to buy Bitcoin. Or when you see just Bitcoin Twitter or crypto just go silent, just like all the cyber hornets have, this is a good sign. This is a good sign. That's when you might want to, you know, it's already on the watch list, but that's when you might want to start dipping your big toe in the water and maybe start rebuilding a position. Now, I don't know where that price is going to be, 10,000, 5,000, 3,000, 15,000. Who knows? But all I know is we're not at capitulation yet, because you still have a lot of the, you know, people, the Bitcoiners that were promoting Bitcoin just the same way, in my opinion, that the people were promoting crypto. And you could say, well, George, well, Bitcoin's a real asset and crypto's not, therefore they're justified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way they were promoting it. The way they were promoting it is the exact same. In fact, I would say that most of the Bitcoiners are far more egregious than a lot of the crypto people. You know, you never had the people that were bullish on FTX telling you that, you know, have fun staying poor. I never heard that from those people, you know. So once they are all washed out of the system, just like with uranium, and we see this capitulation, then that's going to be the great opportunity to buy for the long term. But I don't think we're there yet, because they're still sounding off on Twitter, pointing all the fingers at the crypto people, like somehow they're as pure as the driven snow. And if I could get my damn Twitter account back, I'd be calling them out on this stuff right and left. So if you want to see me, if you want to see me go to some verbal blows on Twitter, with a lot of the Michael Saylors of the world, just at mention Twitter support and try to get me back on, get me out of Twitter jail. All right, guys, those are my thoughts on what's happening on these class action lawsuits. I think this is just the beginning. As always, make sure you enjoy the rest of your afternoon and stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.